Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello and welcome back. I have missed you guys. Of course, I am Hope, and this is John, my husband. He's here again.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And Hope, this is a big episode. You know why?
Yeah, why?
Well, because this is episode number 20.
Ooh.
Can you believe that?
I can't.
20 of these so far.
That's so crazy.
I know.
I wasn't sure if I was going to make it through one or two. I mean, the first ones were a little rough, but I wasn't sure if I was going to make it through.
Hopefully we've gotten better.
I hope so.
I know that in the beginning when you first had this idea to do this, that, you know, you knew you wanted to do it, but you weren't sure what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
You'd never done a podcast before. Yeah.
The unknown can be scary.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. But now here we are, 20 yes. episodes, and we've decided that this will be the end of season one.
Yes.
So
exciting.
So yeah, I wasn't really sure. I know we've talked about this. How do seasons work in podcast land?
I think it's just whatever you just choose.
I'm pretty sure that's how.
I don't think there's any rules.
I think that's how it is with podcasts in general.
Right.
Like the rules are kind of like whatever you decide.
Like I do a podcast. I'm going to drop 5 this week and no more for another 8 months.
Right.
There's really no rules.
Or I dropped like 16 of them in like 2 weeks.
Right.
And then I came back like 3 years later.
Yeah.
So I know we've tried to at least be consistent.
That kind of feels like what it was like when the writers were on strike on TV.
Oh, very much so. Where your TV show goes away and you're like, right. Is it really ever going to come back?
Yes. And some of them still haven't. So
I know. But we are going to come back.
That's right. We are.
So so today you'll give us some kind of like words of wisdom, as you always
yes,
do.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm going to give a little taste.
Ah.
So you know how you get like the sample walking in the mall by the Chinese restaurant?
Ooh.
You get that little...
Some of that
like,
bourbon chicken that yes, they like to give you?
Yes, or some teriyaki chicken. Mm. You're like, I could eat that.
Now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. And then you eat like 3/4 of it and you're like, why did I get this?
The sample was enough. I should have just taken the free sample.
You just keep walking back and forth.
Right. I didn't need to spend the $15 for this because it's not as good as I thought it was going to be.
Well, hopefully this will be even better and you won't feel all bleh after
you eat it.
There
we go. There we go. Yes. Yes. Hopefully this is not like that food at the mall. Right. Right. So you're going to kick off a new topic today.
Yes.
So we're at the end of a season, mm-hmm. but you're going to kick off a new topic. So it's like a cliffhanger.
Ooh, yes. A cliffhanger.
Ooh, yeah.
I hope everybody has been, you know, doing their workouts with Ninja Warrior so they can hold on to that little ledge with their
ledge.
Just little tiny fingertips.
Yeah, hopefully the bad guy's not there stamping his foot on your fingers.
Oh, no, that's the other show.
Oh, that's the other show. Sorry. Oh, yeah, I guess they don't do that on Ninja Warrior.
No, Ninja Warrior's just like, that's impossible. How
right.
did he do that?
Right, right. You're only competing against yourself there, I guess.
Yes.
In that moment. And everybody always falls. So, I don't know.
This is true.
So go ahead.
Well, I am going to be giving a little taste of, like we said, when we do come back in season 2, there will be several different episodes. Not sure exactly how many yet. We'll just have to wait and see. But we will have several different episodes, and they will all be centered around identity.
Ooh.
Yes. So
not secret identity. This isn't that podcast.
No, it's not. But, you know, maybe one day.
Ooh.
Yeah, I won't be spies. I could be a spy for Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of which, this is completely...
Hopefully there's not a physical requirement for being spies because I would fail miserably.
And me too.
Or if the physical requirement is yes, you can effectively sit in a chair. You're a spy.
Well, this reminds me of, and it's totally off topic, but now that we're talking about spies...
Tangent.
Yes, you know, a little rabbit trail here. I can remember going through the Bible with Josiah.
Uh-huh.
Well, we didn't go through the whole Bible. I don't want it to sound like that. But doing certain books that we've read through. And when Jesus would just like slip away.
Mm.
And so like there's probably 3 times or so in my Bible that I wrote like a ninja.
You wrote it like right by that.
I did. It was like whenever he was in the temple, he came into the temple and they, and he's reading from Isaiah and he's talking about how he's saying he's the Messiah.
Right.
He's reading that, you know, that part, and I don't want to butcher it by not having it right in front of me, but it's, you know, super amazing. And he is, he's reading this and then he sits down and he's like, well, this has been fulfilled in your sight today. And it's like, ugh.
Right.
And everybody gets super, super irate, just crazy, to where they take him and they drag him out of the temple all the way to this cliff. And they're ready to just throw. I mean, they're so angry that he is, in their eyes, being blasphemous.
Yeah.
And just take him all the way to the cliff. And he basically is like, nope. And he just walks right through them and walks away.
Yeah.
Today is not my day.
Like a ninja.
So that just reminded me of that.
Yeah.
So those are just little pictures that go on in my head. I'm sure that everybody appreciates seeing those little pictures that.
Right.
When I read the Bible, how I see things.
When they're reading that, they'll be like, ooh, right. This is like a ninja.
Yeah.
Hope told me.
Jesus the ninja. Yes, that's awesome. So we are going to
identity?
We're going to be talking about identity.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really excited about this. I've spoken about identity several times, but this last time when God was giving me different things for it, I just was like, it's even beyond what I thought before.
Mm.
You know, if you've ever looked it up, you know, who I am in Christ, and you have a list, which it's amazing. It's an amazing venture to go on to find out who we are in Christ. There's a million verses and that support all those different things. And it's great. It's awesome. And so I thought that that's where he was going to take me with it. And there's a touch of that in there, just a little bit, because some of those are really, really key, but it's even more.
Mm.
So, so I'm really excited. And so today we're just kind of jumping just the beginning of it, just a little taste, like we said. So I do want to talk about different IDs.
Mm.
So tell me what different IDs we might have.
Driver's license?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Student IDs?
Oh, student ID, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess if you work at certain places, you have like your employee ID.
Like your badge.
Right. Like when I worked at the hospital, I had a badge.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what we use to travel.
Ooh, passports. Passports.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have lots of different, and I'm sure that there's more. Sometimes you just have an ID card if maybe you're older and you're not really driving anymore, but it just is to identify
right.
who you are, you know?
Yeah.
And so what are those things on those IDs that, just the information that's on them?
Usually your name, sometimes your birthday. A picture.
Right.
I guess there's a picture. So, so if someone's looking at the ID and they're looking at you, they're like, hey, are you the same person? Right. That is not you. Huh? Well, it was me.
That's in the spy movies.
Right. Just information, I guess, about your physical appearance, maybe.
Yeah. Especially our driver's license.
Yeah.
You know, it does have our picture, but then it goes even further to give our eye color, our hair color. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it doesn't stay the same.
Right.
But
it's kind of like the weight when your weight's on there. Right. That doesn't always stay the same either.
Right. This is true. Unfortunately, or fortunately sometimes. You know, height and all those different things. But it's all things that point to our physical, our external. And so people can look at our ID and say, this is this person, you know.
Right.
Especially with passports.
Right.
That's why they expire every 10 years. And when you're a kid, they expire every 5 years because you change so much, you know, over that time period. But
and when you're at passport control, that person's looking at you. No smile on their face.
They are
staring you up and down.
Yes.
Is this true? Really you?
This is true. I just don't like the fact that when you get those pictures taken, even with driver's license anymore, they say, don't smile. And I'm like, but you're taking my picture.
Right. They want it to look like a mugshot.
Supposed to smile. Yeah. Then you look, and that's why those pictures aren't so good, guys. Like, that's why. You know, everybody's like, oh, I hate my driver's license picture. That's because they tell you not to smile. So you're just like,
bleh. Right. Like, why does an ID need to make you look like a criminal? Like, that's the part I don't understand.
Exactly.
Like,
well, I guess they can compare it to mugshots, right, if that does happen.
That's what I mean. Like, this is your booking picture. You know, turn to the right. I don't know. Don't smile. It's
right.
Crazy.
So, we have all these physical features that are on our IDs. However, that information is not who we are. The information on our IDs is not our identity. And sometimes we look at people and we see those different features and we judge a book by its cover.
Mm.
Sometimes we do it. I think that we all try maybe not to do it, but sometimes we do it. And so, you know,
that sometimes is probably a lot more like we do it.
Yes. For as much as I really don't want to think that I do, but I'll catch myself.
Sure.
You know, I'll just, you know, see somebody and go, huh. And like, not even anything necessarily bad. It just, you just have an initial impression.
Right. You make assumptions based on what you see.
Right. Right. But somebody could have a bad hair day.
Sure.
You know, it could be that they, you know, they just woke up,
mm-hmm.
you know, it could, any number of different things can be really rough when you just woke up, you know, the way they look, the way you look, the way you sound,
right,
a number of different things. It could be that you are dressed to a T, that you are all dressed up, all made up, the whole nine, but you're actually a hot mess inside,
you know,
so we can't really judge a book by its cover, no matter what.
Right.
And I mean, have you ever felt like you've been judged by what you look like?
Daily.
Yeah.
No, not really. Yes, but definitely. Definitely. I mean, being overweight my whole life, it's like there's always that whole like, oh, yeah, we're judging that guy because he must be lazy or he must be whatever. And maybe I am lazy. I don't know. But
no, you're not lazy. Trust me.
But you know what I mean? It's like I think that... that happens. I mean, you know, the fact that I walk with a cane, sometimes, not that I've directly heard somebody say something to me, but, you know, sometimes I think you have that feeling like what are people thinking about me because of this thing? You know, like you're less than or like you can't, because there's things you can't do that much, you know, that somehow that makes you less than.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely been times when I've felt that way. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, you have the weight thing or growing up, I had curly hair and I love my mom and she did her best, but she had very straight hair. So she really didn't know what to do with my hair for many years.
Mm.
So, you know, it kind of worked out when I was a clown one year for Halloween. And we just kind of teased it all out and it worked perfect. But, you know, so, yeah, you definitely, and kids overall can be mean. They
sure.
can be really mean. And even if, you know, you don't really necessarily have anything physically that looks different than everybody else, they can still be mean.
Right.
They just adults can be mean, too, honestly. But, yeah, I think that even with age, sometimes... God is using really young people or even children and even people in the church will look at them and say, oh, you're too young.
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying that because you heard it somewhere
or
whatever. And it's like you can't dismiss them.
Right. I mean, and I you know, that's an interesting example because, you know, I've known people that that's happened to where they are somebody that I know God speaks to and speaks through. But they're dismissed because of their age. And so maybe that's not necessarily, I mean, yes, you can see when people are young. So I guess that is it's a physical thing, but it's also just what it's their age. You know, well, you're only 20 or you're only 22. And so what do you know?
Right.
Because I'm 50 and I know everything, you know, I mean, the church where I grew up, there was things like that happened. Not necessarily to me, but to other people that I knew, where it was like what they had to say didn't weigh nearly as much because they were too young, they were naive.
They didn't have any gray hair,
right? The more established people, they knew better, which is that's the most hilarious thing in the world. It's like, you know, what did you know better? Like, you punk, right. You didn't.
Well, and I would like to think that the more years that you have been on this earth and with God, that you would have that more wisdom. But then I would look at how they're reacting and saying, well, maybe you don't.
Well, I think the thing, the reality of that is, you know, maybe their walk is not nearly as deep.
Exactly.
You know, and that's where, unfortunately, that's how they've landed where they are.
Right.
So.
But I have met people on the other side of that, too. So I do need to say that. Not everybody is like that. But it definitely exists. Or if you're older and a lot of these things can also be the individual impressing it upon themselves.
Yeah.
Like how you were mentioning, too. You just think, well, because people look at this, maybe they think this about me. And or other people might just feel this because of
how
they look. Right.
You're assuming you're being judged.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I know many older people who maybe, you know, we just had a gentleman a couple weeks ago that we were talking to, and he's like, I just don't even know why I'm still here. Mm. And he wasn't like being down or anything. He wasn't like, you know, but he just, because he's lived so long,
right,
you know, he just wasn't sure. And it's like, well, obviously God has, he's using you right now.
Right.
And he has amazing things in store. And recently we've done a group, and the range in ages was, I loved it because I have a special place in my heart for each generation ministering to the other.
Yeah.
Because there's value in both.
Yeah.
And I just seeing how they were bridging over decades.
Yeah.
Decades. One of them said, well, you know, my wife, my bride and me, we're going to be married for 60 years. And one of our young people said, wow, that's three times my age. But it was beautiful because they're encouraging each other and building up each other. And it's just, I just love it. I just like my favorite part of, you know, and people might look at it, it's like just an odd batch of people, but man, it's amazing. And I just love it because there is really that, you know, value on each and every person.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, I mean, we definitely cannot judge people by that, you know. And I've also, you know, some people are really like, well, that person's just completely covered in tattoos and piercings and all this stuff. But you know what? I've met, or maybe not personally met, but I've seen many pastors who are covered in tattoos. But man, when they open their mouth, it's God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Holy Spirit speaking right through them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we really cannot judge a book by its cover.
Right.
So obviously anything that's on any of our IDs does not speak to our identity.
Right. Because judging a book by its cover is something that I think we have. There's examples of that in the New Testament. There was a group of people that often liked to judge people based off of what they looked like.
Yes.
I believe they called them Pharisees.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they were quick to judge.
Mm-hmm.
You're not nearly as holy as I am, or you're not nearly as whatever, because I'm educated and because of this and because that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at me, because it couldn't be you. Like, how could you know? How could you, you know?
Yeah. There's many different, you know, demographics that would, you know, speak to. So just wanted to encourage people today to not judge other people. And like we kind of mentioned, don't judge yourself. Don't expect for other people to judge you. You be you, which we're going to be talking about, your identity.
Right.
And let God shine through,
you
know, and let them get to know the real you, because I know that you are worth getting to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who better to look to for our identity than God, who created us?
Mm.
And obviously, we were going to be looking to God and the Bible. But, you know, if you really think about it, he is number one. He's the one who created us to be who we were meant to be. You know, He knows us by our name, which, you know, I don't know how many people really think about that, but he does. We love to hear our name. Mm. And he knows us by our name. He also sees to our innermost being. Mm. He knows us better than we know ourselves. For as much as we think that we know our children or ourselves or whoever, or even each other, God knows us down to our core way more than we know even ourselves. And so who better to speak to who we are?
Yeah.
He did form us in our mother's womb. It says that in Psalms 139. He formed us. And it's just a really cool thing for me to think about that. Kind of how he formed Adam, the very first human on earth, and how he, you know, everything else in creation, he spoke. I mean, at least at the beginning, he spoke light.
Yeah.
And then there was light. It talks about the days that the animals were created and, you know, the stars, and he split the waters so the land came up and everything. And it doesn't necessarily, he doesn't say exactly how that happened, but he started with saying light. You know, he said it with his mouth, with his words. But when it came to humans and they decided to create something in their own image, which I'm saying their own because it's God, the Trinity, God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, who are one God. And, but when they decided to do that, he bent down, pulled some dirt together, and started to form Adam. And then he did something that is ever so intimate by breathing into his mouth to create us. This was so much more than simply speaking light, which is amazing all on its own. But this was an intimate creation. Mm-hmm. This was him forming us. He could have just said, human, and he'd just be there.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't. He wanted to get his hands dirty. You know, he wanted to form him from the dirt, and he breathed into his mouth his breath to make him alive, which, you know, I have not had to do CPR on anybody.
Which I'm sure you're thankful for.
I am thankful for. I have had a couple of small children when in daycare that I had to help them with choking, but that was it. I mean, but I had learned all about the CPR and very grateful to know about it. But if you have to actually put your mouth on somebody else's mouth to breathe into them for them to live, I think in the moment, I definitely would. I mean, absolutely. I'm not going to question it at all. But that is an intimate thing.
Yeah.
You're not going around just doing that all the time, right. You know? So when I think about how he formed us in our mother's wombs, it's that intimate, you know? It's that intimate. He didn't just from afar, just, you know, say, hey, baby, you know? Right. He formed us, just like he formed Adam. He formed us in our mother's womb. He knows even our everyday, our past, our present, and into our future, which is awesome. So he is definitely the one to look to for our identity. And he also loves us more than anyone could ever love us. Which, you know, when you have kids and you're like, oh man, I just love this kid so much. And then you have the second one, you're like, wow, I have even more love. Like, I thought I was going to have to take away from the first one, but you don't. You just love him, love him, love him. But he still loves him even more.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an amazing thing. So we will be looking to God and his word for the future topics. But first, I think it's important for us to talk about what we do not look to for our identity. because I think that many of us have been or are right now looking to these things for our identity. And some of them you might say, whoa, you're wrong. But just hear me out. Just hear me out as we walk through this. Well, one, we cannot look to others for our identity. And we just talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
People trying to speak to us and tell us who we are. And basically the bottom line is people are flawed.
Yeah.
People are hurt. People are flawed. And so we cannot look to other people for our identity. That seems to be a huge part of growing up and even as an adult, but definitely growing up in those adolescent years, you look to your peers for, you know, to say who you are. So it's, you can't do that. You just can't. It will not end up good at all. We are also not our occupation, what we do for a job. If, you know, you're a bricklayer or a steel worker, like a welder or anything like that. If you do those things as your occupation, you probably identify yourself. You know, well, if you, someone says, who are you? Well, I'm a welder or I'm a mechanic or I'm a, you know.
Right.
And yes, that's what you do, but that's not your identity. And the reason being is if you can't do that anymore, you have an accident, you retire, whatever. If you can't do that anymore, then who are you? You know, and that applies to all the, all this list of things that we're going to talk about. Let's just say that you have enjoyed sports and maybe you're really good at baseball and you've been playing baseball throughout your whole childhood and now through high school and, you know, you're heading to college and you're hoping to get signed and whatever. And this has just been so much of your life that you're a baseball player. But then you get hurt, you know, and I mean, we've seen many of movies.
Right.
And I'm sure it's happened in real life, too.
Sure.
And people just don't even know what to do after they get hurt. I mean, and there could be some serious issues there after that. So it's so important to not find yourself, find your identity in that. Even as a student, when you find your identity in being a student, and you're one of the students that really put a lot of pressure on yourself, what happens when you get a B? All of a sudden, I mean, you might feel like a failure. I mean, it's not failing, obviously. I mean, Bs are not failing, guys.
No.
But if you put that pressure on yourself that, you know, second place is first loser, right, you know, that it's, I mean, you feel like a failure.
Yeah.
I mean, and that affects you internally. I mean, mentally, emotionally, it's just, it's not good. And so when you find your identity as a student, that can happen. So we can't do that either, even though that that's something that you do for many, many years of the beginning of your life, most of the time. Even as a parent, as a mom or a dad, which hopefully once you do have a child, you are the mom and dad for the rest of your life. But we can't find, you can't find your identity in being a father or a mother because what if something horrible happened and you lost your child?
Yeah.
Even when you have multiple kids and you lose one child, I mean, I don't even know what the statistic is on that, but I've seen many marriages break up.
Yeah.
Because they lose a child. And so you just can't find your identity in being even a parent, even though it's something that, you know, full time and hopefully you'll do for the rest of your life. You can't find your identity in it. And the other part is, too, is that a lot of times people feel like this is a very noble thing, that they find their identity in their ministry. And but we can't.
Right.
We can't, but they do. Well, I'm a pastor and I'm a pastor and that's who God created me to be, as a pastor. Well,
yeah,
he gave you the gifting.
Right.
You know, but you can't, and you are a pastor and you're leading a church. You could be great at it. But if you find your identity in it, then things can happen.
Yeah.
What if, you know, whatever happens, you retire, God leads you in another direction. Maybe you don't go in that direction because who am I if I'm not a pastor?
Right.
Like, it's, you know, there's any number of different reasons why you can't. And also along with ministry is giftings.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, you know, you're very gifted in hearing God's voice in the prophetic, or if God uses you to heal other people,
mm-hmm.
any one of those giftings, you can't find your identity in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there can be seasons.
Yeah.
There can be seasons where God's teaching you this and then he's teaching you that. And if he pulls you out of that season, you can feel like, well, God's not with me anymore.
Sure.
Who am I if I can't do this? I must have failed. I mean, any number of different things can come to mind whenever you are placing your identity in those things.
Right. I mean, if you think about, since I'm a worship leader, and just, I mean, even in the time that we've been together,
mm-hmm.
27 years.
That's only been marriage. We were together before that.
Right, right. But, you know, serving in churches and doing that, and then you find yourself in that place where, you know, you were doing it, and you were the, you know, so for me, it was like, I was the worship leader, and this is what I did, and
mm-hmm.
and we saw awesome times in God's presence, right. and all of those things, and it's like, and then when life happened, and we would move to a different place or whatever because of work, and then the church we were at, that wasn't what God had me doing there, but
right.
but man, whew, when it's the thing you think,
mm-hmm.
and then you're not doing it, you're right. I mean, it can mm-hmm. become very hard. You look back at it later and you go, well, okay, well, God used me in a different way,
right.
or God made me rest, or mm-hmm. whatever. But yeah, I mean, it you could very easily, if you're saying, for me, if I'm saying I'm nothing if I'm not a worship leader,
right,
that would be a dark place.
Yeah. And you could miss out on what God has for you right then.
Right.
Because you could, you know, don't they know that I'm a worship pastor? Don't they know what I've done? Whoa. Ooh.
Right.
Back it up.
Right.
but
well, and you're also limiting that. You're also saying at that point that the only gift I have, mm-hmm. the only thing that God has given me to do is this. And then you're limiting God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because God has given everybody lots of talents.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there may be the one you prefer to use,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean you don't have others to use when it's time to use them.
Right. And while we're talking about this, God specializes in calling people who don't have the gifting of the thing that he wants them to do.
Yeah.
Because he wants them to know that it's him.
Sure.
And not them. Not the talent that he, you know, he will. There's times of that too, but he specializes in Moses, who had a speech impediment.
Yeah.
To go speak to millions of people
yeah.
and lead them.
Yeah.
Like, and not only speak to them, but to speak to the Pharaoh, to stand up for them. Like, you know, if you've known anybody or ever had a speech impediment, that is not the job you're looking for.
You know, they didn't do a very good job when Charlton Heston played Moses. He spoke very well.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the dude's doing like voiceovers.
They
so
just,
what?
They missed the, they missed the boat there.
They did. They missed that little part in scripture, which
yeah.
was very key.
Yeah.
Very key. You know, he did not ever think that he was going to be called to speak for people or to speak to that many people to be powerfully used in his speaking.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And he was also at that time 80. So you have a speech impediment for 80 years.
Yeah.
You don't think you're going to get past it.
Yeah.
You know? So you definitely can't do that. We also cannot find our identity, which this is not something that I don't think people choose to find their identity in, but in the things that you've done in the past.
Mm.
People many times will identify themselves as what they did, then usually the negative choices.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole too far, but if you are following Jesus and you have accepted him and you're living for him and growing in relationship with him, you are no longer a sinner.
Mm.
That's not your identity.
Mm-hmm.
So people will many times say that. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yeah, you were a sinner. Then you were saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the power to not sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like when they say the other, it's almost like, well, I'm expected to sin. Because that's who I am. But you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Your identity is not found in what you've done, mm-hmm. even if it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Your identity is not found in the bad choices that you've made. Your identity cannot be found in your diagnosis. Mm. You know, if you've been diagnosed with anything that is something that you battle with for a long time, or like dyslexia or bipolar or even depression, anything emotional, or it could be chemical that affects those emotions too, or physical, you know, if there's been a disease,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm cancer, you know, I'm the person with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, and why that's a long path sometimes for some people to walk.
Yeah.
You know, going through the different treatments and the therapies and the this and the that and getting tested. And I mean, a long time, and you can easily identify yourself as the person with cancer.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of break it down a little bit. We had a friend. It was actually our first daughter's friend. They made friends in fifth grade, in grade school. And she became pretty close with her because she, the girl had diabetes. And so she would take her to the clinic every day to get her shot, you know. And, but there was a dynamic that was happening that I could see from the outside that it was constantly talked about and thought about and considered and talked about. And I really felt like it was just like she couldn't get away from it.
Right. Like she'd been labeled.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that is a huge part of some of these things that children or even people can be labeled with these things, which I get it. There are things that you need to do.
Yeah.
There, if you have to go to therapy, if you have to take medicine, absolutely do them.
Yeah.
But your identity is not found in them.
Yeah.
You have to know that, you know, you are not, you know, Sam, the diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
You are not.
Listen, I mean, we talk about Bartimaeus in the Bible.
Right. Exactly. Poor Bartimaeus.
Because he wasn't just Bartimaeus.
Right. He was blind Bartimaeus.
Right.
Which he got healed in the Bible. But every single time anybody wants to preach about him, he's blind Bartimaeus.
Poor
it was
guy.
His like title, you know? And I mean, he's probably over it by now. But you know, that we have to be really careful with that and this imposing upon ourselves and on other people.
Yeah.
But when it's you, you can tend to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, if you deal with any kind of depression or bipolar or anything, and it's so much a part of your life, you can, not that you want to, but you can easily find your identity in it. And which just can mess you up.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
So it's just really important to not find that in there. So what can we find our identity in? We've talked about so many different things that we cannot or should not find our identity in. What is something that we can find our identity in?
God.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so the first one, we're just going to say it. If you've accepted Jesus and you're following Jesus and living for him, you are a child of God. Mm. The Bible does talk about being a child of God kind of in two different lights. Because we are born of Adam, who God created as created in his image as his son. So all people are considered in that light children
mm-hmm.
of God
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
we have come from God.
Right.
But if we're talking about people who believe in Jesus dying on the cross and he rose again and we're living for him and going to spend eternity with him, those are the children of God who will inherit the kingdom mm-hmm. of God. We get to inherit the kingdom. So those are, so it's kind of two different categories. I'm talking about the latter one.
Yeah.
You know, the ones who are following after Jesus. So we can find our identity in being a child of God. So why is that different from everything else? That's different because that's eternal.
Mm.
Being a child of God, you continue to walk that road. It's an eternal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we can only find our identity in things that are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Because all those other things can change.
And will.
Yes. They can definitely change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cannot find our identity in them.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find our identity in the eternal things. So I hope that was a big enough bite for everybody today to be excited.
Come back. It's funny. You're like, we talked about all the things we can't find our identity in. And then you're like, what's the thing we find our identity in? It's the eternal things.
So you're going to have to tune in.
Ah, see, there's the cliffhanger. You brought the cliffhanger.
Yes. So, definitely. So I'm excited for this new season. It will be just a couple of weeks before we come back. It looks like it will probably be July 19th will be the next one.
Okay.
It drops.
So taking a little bit of time off.
Yes, just a little bit.
But not a lot.
Right.
This isn't like taking off the summer like the TV shows do.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Well, I'm not waiting for any writers. Nope.
Because they might strike.
That's right. I'm not. I'll let God be my writer.
That's right.
So, yes. So we will be coming back July 19th, and I'm really excited to kick off season 2. With episode 21, and we will be talking about identity for a couple of those podcasts, and I'm super excited, so I really hope that you guys do come back and join us and for that exciting times.
And you'll be bringing in probably some special guests along
the way? Yes. I actually already have some in my heart right now that
They need to get out of your heart, and you have to ask the people.
Yes. I just have to go, you know, week to week.
Sure.
You know, God kind of goes, oh, maybe it's that prayer. Okay, yeah. And, you know, just have to see how it flows. And, you know, we get together and, yeah, but I'm excited.
You know, as the tech guy, I'm excited that we're gearing up to have different studio space that we'll use.
Yes.
Too. So it's amazing when a child moves out of the house, how it frees up space.
Yes, it definitely does.
So maybe by the time we're at season 2, we'll be in that new space. Or, yeah. I mean, definitely sometime during season 2, we'll be in that space.
Yeah. Probably sooner than later, most likely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited, guys. So I do want to encourage you to maybe evaluate, go kind of through your life and, you know, just kind of say, what do I find my identity in? I do want to share this one story. I forgot it when we were going over it, but just one example, because, you know, God shows me these things from my life experiences.
Mm.
So most of everything walking through currently or walking through, you know, in the past sometime, not mm-hmm. too long ago. So, I was finding my identity in being a mother and a wife.
Mm.
And this is going to sound initially kind of silly, but I think that some people might be able to relate to it. I found this out, one, because God showed me, but I was in a season where I was fortunately able to be at home at the time. So I was, you know, a housewife and mother and taking care of the kids and the house and everything. And I had my daily list. And my list had everything that I was going to try to get done that day. And I usually overloaded it because I just wrote down everything that was coming to mind. And it would come to the end of the day and I wouldn't have finished some of them. John would come home from work and he would say, hey, how you doing? How was your day? What'd you do? And I would immediately just, well, I did this, but I didn't do this and I didn't get to this. And I was super frustrated. And I, you know, it would just kind of come out like, I just couldn't get this done because of this and all these excuses. And it just was just this all of a sudden ugly scene And I can remember John looking at me like, I was just trying to make some conversation and see how your day was. And so I can remember him looking at me like that.
Especially because when you ask me, it's like, hey, John, how was your day? I'm like, it was good. Right. That's all you got.
It was work-like.
Right. I went to work. I came home.
Right.
That's what happened.
Right. So, but I, you know, was picking up on this and I'm like, why do I react like that? Why, you know?
Yeah. Why do you react like that?
Well, that's why I asked God.
Oh.
And so God said that I was finding my identity in being a mother and a wife. And if I didn't finish my to-do list, I felt like a failure. So I was speaking from a place of feeling like a failure, kind of like a student who likes to be an A student, but they might get a B, that I was less than, that I had to defend myself, that I had to, I mean, just all kinds of things. And I felt horrible for, you know, like just after those conversations and just that feeling, like the next day, I'm like, am I going to get this done? I don't know. Am I going to be successful? Am I going to be all the mother and wife that I'm supposed to be? And so it was a real relief, and it was definitely a process to kind of rewire that I'm that's not who I am. Like, that's what I do. That's some hats that I wear. And I love doing them, but that's internally, that is not who I am. That is not my identity. So if that speaks to anybody, you might want to just kind of go through your life and what are the things that you do, or maybe past choices that you've made, or any one of those. If you're finding your identity in those, you want to make sure that you step back. And the one thing that you can for right now, you can put it in, is you're a child of God. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So looking forward to everybody coming back and joining us on July 19th. That will be a Friday. And super excited. So until next time, continue believing and hoping in the one and only true God. See you next time.